what they call that. And it's a lot of fun to sing. It's a combination of about five or six different songs. Open your Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 8 this morning. 1 Kings chapter 8. We believe the Bible's the truth. Amen? Amen. We believe God gave us the Bible. The Bible says that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And that means God gave it to us. And then it continues in that verse and it says that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. And so Scripture furnishes us. It equips us. It gives us what we need. And so often I think it's sad but true that we can hear a passage in the Bible and not see or not believe or not practice how it equips us. And so I've got two trains of thought here, and they're on different tracks, and I've been trying all week to get them on the same track, and I can't do it. So we'll see what the Lord does. But I want to begin by showing you something in 1 Kings chapter 8 and verse 29, and then I'll show you something that I think is just plain exciting beginning in verse 31. But in verse 29, 1 Kings 8, 29, Solomon is praying before the people, and he is talking to the Lord out loud, and the people are listening. And he says, that thine eyes may be open toward this house, night and day, even toward the place of which thou hast said, my name shall be there. Let's just stop right there for a minute. Solomon had built a temple. Now, he said he wanted to build a place for God to inhabit. But what you're going to see in just a minute is every time he mentions God hearing prayer, he's going to say, I want you to hear in heaven. He understands that there's not one house that limits the presence of God. Our God is omnipresent. He is everywhere. And so Solomon knows that. But there's something special about this place. I want to pause for a moment and just think about that and get this first train out of the way. And then we'll look at the other train here in just a minute. But I'm glad God gave us this place. Amen? We could go to another church. There are other churches. But I know this. There are people near this church that need for this church to take the gospel to them. I was talking to someone the other day, and there's this one particular geographic area that we work in quite a lot with our bus ministry and with our vacation Bible school, and we go door to door there. And the person talking to me said, you know, there's no other churches going here except us. And those folks need the gospel. Amen. There are missionaries that we've sent out, and other churches could support them, but we support them also. Oh, by the way, a little rabbit trail here. Pray for the Post family, if you would, please. They are having tremendous difficulty maintaining their presence in Israel. In fact, they're going to have to come out of the country for a while. And just pray that God would get them back. But anyway, the place that God's given us here, he put us here to, if you see in verse 29, that his name should be here. Amen? We represent him. We represent who he is and what he's done for us. And we declare his name. We praise his name. We magnify his name. We tell others about his name. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. They need to know who Jesus is. So, it seems to me like everything in this next, I don't know, 20 verses, clearly Solomon is thinking about the importance of this place that he has built. I'm thinking about the importance of this church that God has put here in this place. And he's talking about some things that could happen and what God can do. And it all centers around what we talked about last week, which is we know that God is reliable. We talked about that. We know that God is remarkable. But the question is God available? And that's what he's going to talk about here. I'm going to let you remain seated because we're going to read a lot, a little at a time. So we're not going to read it all at once. But I'm going to begin by reading a couple more verses and begin to look at this. But you're going to see this is really clear. It's really clear. If the Bible says something twice, that's special, isn't it? If the Bible says something three times, like when Jesus asked Peter, do you love me? He asked that to Peter three times, and and to emphasize it. What if the Bible said something six times? That sounds kind of important, doesn't it? That's what you're going to see today, is a very clear repetition, six different times. And you say, well, you know, that's just Solomon praying, and that's just Solomon talking to the Lord in front of the people a couple of thousand years ago. No, this is for us. You can see some things in here that will help us. So I'm going to begin reading. You can follow along. I'm going to begin reading in verse 31 of 1 Kings chapter 8. And there's this word, and I'll kind of set you up here a little bit. In verse 31 is the word if. In verse 33 is the word when. In verse 35 is the word when. In verse, let me find the next one here. In verse 44 is the word if. And there's a couple of others that I skipped over, but you're going to see some situations he's going to describe. We'll look at the first one right now. He says, if, in verse 31, any man trespass against his neighbor, and an oath be laid upon him to cause him to swear, and the oath come before thine altar in this house. Look at verse 32. Then hear thou in heaven, and do and judge thy servants. Now let me show you this repetition here. Look at verse 34. Then hear thou in heaven and forgive. Look at verse 36. Then hear thou in heaven and forgive. Look at verse 39. Then hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place and forgive. Then look at verse 43. Hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place and do. Look at verse 45. Then hear thou in heaven their prayer and supplication and maintain their cause. Six different times Solomon says there are some times that we need to call on God and trust that he will hear. I believe God hears. Now, he knows our needs even before we ask, but he hears. And these are some special situations here, and some of them may apply to you right now. Some of them may apply to our church right now. But I want to encourage you, we have a God that hears. Now, let's just kind of wander through this a little bit. I want to show you something that really jumps out right away. If you look at the comment that he makes in verse 34, he says, forgive. In verse 36, he says, forgive. He says in verse 39, forgive. Why would God hear us? God would hear us when we call upon him and we're ready to be forgiven. We know we need forgiveness, and we're acknowledging before God. The Bible says if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. The Bible says if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So don't think of this as just a message that's going to go in one ear and out the other, and you walk out the door and go have lunch and forget what was said. Let me ask you this question. Are you right with God? Can you be? Solomon has some confidence here, doesn't he? He says, Lord, I'm trusting that you're going to forgive. Now, I quoted you the verse. Let me do it again. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. My friend Don Jasmine probably said it 100 times in our church in Maryland. All means all. That's all means. All unrighteousness. Can you be right with God? You can, can't you? Let me ask a different question. Do you want to be right with God? Oh, what could God do for you? We'll look at that here in just a minute. Because, folks, things come into our lives, don't they? Things come into our situations. Things come into our church. Situations come along that I can't deal with, that you can't deal with. I hope I have conveyed the excitement to you adequately. I have been telling everybody I see for the last month, just about, I am so excited of what I've seen in Exodus. God wants to be my God. God wants me to let him and to make him be my God. And what that means is that when I stop and think, isn't the future so uncertain? Wow, I was talking to a fellow last week that I hadn't talked to in over 6 years. It took half an hour just to get caught up with everything that's happened in his life. He didn't let me tell him anything that happened in mine, but he talked for half an hour about what happened in his life. And I thought, isn't the future so uncertain? You have the elections coming up a week from Tuesday, and you think, oh, these elections are going to go the way I want them to, and things are going to get better. If you're trusting in the politicians to get things better, you're in the wrong place. If you're trusting in your finances, or you're trusting in your health, or if you're trusting in anything that you can do or that you have, or let's just make it real plain, anything outside of God, your hope is in the wrong place. Come back to where we started. Solomon, praying to God, says, Lord, we're trusting that you're going to hear us. And we know, and half of the time he mentions that, we know we're going to need to be forgiven. So I ask the question, are you right with God? You want to be right with God because you want him to hear you. Because I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow or next week or next month or next year or in 10 years. But I know this, God does. That's not even the best part. It's not just that God knows. When that situation comes along that he knows about and I don't, he's going to be there and he'll hear. Your God will hear you. You want to be right with God. You say, well, Pastor, I'm not good enough. That's why you need him to forgive. Because you're going to fail. On Friday night, I was thinking about it yesterday. I didn't get to go back to the conference. I wasn't feeling well yesterday, but I was thinking about Friday night. And the fella got up and he took one word out of Titus, and it's the word wanting. And he talked about some of the reasons that churches aren't what they ought to be. He talked about pastors and talked about men, and he hit some obvious high spots. And I told somebody after that, I said, now we need to hear how to fix that, don't we? It's not enough to know something is wrong. You know, you've got a car and something goes wrong. Okay, I know something's wrong, but how do I fix it? You got a church and something is wrong. How do I fix it? You got a life and something is wrong. How do I fix it? You need a big God, don't you? Solomon knows God can do what needs to be done, but nothing's going to happen till God hears. And I'm not going to get too far down this rabbit trail, but let me just mention to you, God won't hear unless you call. You got to pray. You have not because you ask not. Ask and you shall receive. Believing, ask believing. Nothing wavering, no doubt, no, not even a little doubt. So Solomon's talking about God hearkening, and the first thing he knows is this, we need to be forgiven. And folks, God's willing to forgive. My friend David that called me on the phone last week, his daughter, she works in broadcasting, she works in sports broadcasting, And she goes to a different church from his, and she was telling me the other day, she said, you know, one of the problems that I see in my workplace is everybody knows what we're against, but they don't know what we're for. And people tend to think of Christians as being, well, they're against this, and they're against that, and they're against the other thing. You know, the truth of the matter is we're really for God. We're for righteousness. And, you know, if I was to say, are you for cleanliness? Do you like to eat clean food or do you like to eat polluted food? You'd say, well, I like to eat clean food. I like food that doesn't have bugs in it or dirt in it or bacteria. It's not rotten. So, oh, you're against bugs? You're against bacteria? You're against rot? Well, if you're going to be for something, there's going to be some things you're not for, right? But we are for righteousness. And let folks know that. Folks, righteousness is good in this life. He says, Paul told Timothy, exercise yourself into godliness, which is profitable in this life and the life to come. Let's get back on the right train track here. Okay, so here we go. Six times, and I'm not going to preach a six-point message. I'm going to finish at noon. I got 20 minutes. He says, then in verse 32, hear thou in heaven. Then in verse 34, hear thou in heaven. Then in verse 36, hear thou in heaven. Same thing in verse 39. Almost the same thing in verse 43. Same thing in verse 45. So let's see. When can we call on God? Now, I've already read those first two verses, and I'll just comment on that a little bit. In verse 31, there's a situation to where there are two people, and there is the word trespass would be an offense or a violation, or somebody's done something to injure somebody else. And God, Solomon says when he prays to God, Lord, we're trusting you to sort it out. Folks, God is a God of justice, and you can trust him with your situation, and he will give you that justice. I'm not going to spend too much time on that one because the other one's a little bit more exciting to me. But let's look at verse 33. This is the second one. When thy people Israel be smitten down before the enemy. Now watch this. Because they have sinned. Folks, sin gets you in trouble, doesn't it? When thy people be smitten down before the enemy because they have sinned against thee, and shall turn again to thee and confess thy name and pray and make supplication unto thee in this house, then hear thou in heaven. Have you ever been defeated? We heard you use the term, I feel defeated, or someone seems to be defeated. He talks about this here. Smitten down, they lost. They went to battle and they lost. If you read the stories of Israel, do you remember when they went to Jericho and God said, don't take anything out of Jericho, just destroy it all. And this one fellow, Achan, he said, nope, I see something here I like. And he buried some stuff and took some stuff. And the next day they went out to battle. And it was an easy fight. It wasn't even that big of an enemy. And they got whipped. And Joshua came back and says to the Lord, he says, Lord, how are we supposed to win this entire land if a little army like this defeats us? And he's really distressed and he's on his face begging to God. And God tells him, and this is a terrible paraphrase, you can read it in Joshua, but God tells him, get up. The problem is, there's sin in the camp. And it needs to be fixed. Folks, when we get defeated, it could be it's because of sin. But I got good news for you, God will forgive. Isn't that great? Say, well, you don't know what I've done, Pastor. Well, I was talking to the Sunday school class. Moses murdered a guy. God used him. David murdered a man. He killed Uriah the Hittite, had him killed. God used him. By the way, don't go out and kill somebody. But God can use you even if you have sinned. That's good news. He says right there, he says, when you are defeated because of your sin, he says, turn to God, confess his name, pray. And then God, hear in heaven and forgive the sin of thy people and bring them again into the land which thou gave to thy fathers. In other words, God's willing. If you're willing to come to him and make things right, he's willing to give you the victory back. That's good. And that's not something to forget when you go home today. That's something to use in your life. Here's another one. He says, and we might think about this in our nation a little bit. He says in verse 35, when heaven is shut up and there is no rain. Oh, does that sound familiar? You seen the pictures of the Mississippi River, or what it used to be the Mississippi River, now the Mississippi Creek, and Lake Mead over here. He said, when heaven is shut up and there is no rain, because they have sinned. I got to be a little bit cruel here for a second. How many politicians have you heard praying for God to forgive us so we can get our rain back? I wonder why they're not doing that. Maybe we need to, amen? Maybe we need to intercede on behalf of our nation. Lord, we've sinned, forgive us. There is a thing called intercessory prayer where you pray for somebody else. If somebody says, well, it's just not raining because of climate change. Come on, folks. God controls climate. He knows exactly how to control every raindrop, every snowflake. He's in control there. And there was a problem in this verse. He says, if the rain is shut off because of sin, if they pray, verse 35, toward this place and confess thy name and turn from their sin, don't miss that. He's mentioned turn twice now in verse 33 and in verse 35. He says, then hear thou in heaven, forgive the sin of thy servants and of thy people. And he goes on and he says, and give rain upon thy land, which thou hast given thy people for an inheritance. I would encourage you, I'm not going to tell you how to vote, I would encourage you to vote the way God would vote. And I don't think God would vote for somebody that's pro-abortion. I don't think God would vote for somebody that denies that he exists. I kind of like it when a politician can stand up and say, God made us man and woman. And then the other side says, well, that's a dangerous thing to say. No, it's the truth. God made them male and female. Read Genesis. Come on. And those are the kind of folks I think you need to vote for. But our nation may very well be, and I'm not the expert on this, but I'll just tell you, we may very well be suffering from lack of rain because we're suffering from lack of righteousness. But God was willing to spare Sodom and Gomorrah for 10 souls. Maybe you and I could pray and God would spare our nation for a while, amen? So that we can reach some more folks for Christ. But let's bring it back to home a little bit. He talks about lack of rain and famine and not having enough. You know, when it seems like the heaven is shut up and the heaven is not prospering you, and this is not a prosperity theology message, but I'm just telling you, God will meet your needs. I'll just mention it and move on. A lot of folks spend a lot of time planning for their retirement and have no idea what money they're going to need or what their health situation is going to be or what's going to happen to the economy or any of that kind of stuff. If you're trusting in a number on a brokerage page or on a bank statement to keep take care of you, you got the wrong God. God's the one you need to trust to take care of you. And I hope you're doing that. So there's the situation here where they're defeated. There's a situation where there's no rain. And he says again, hear in heaven and forgive in verse 36. He talks about famine in verse 37. He says, pestilence and blasting and mildew and locust and caterpillar. And by the way, these things all came to pass on Israel later on. And he said, when that happens, he says in verse 39, verse 38, what prayer and supplication soever be made by any man or by all thy people Israel, which shall know every man the plague of his own heart, that's interesting, and spread forth his hands toward this house, then, verse 39, hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place, and, oh, there's that word again, forgive, and do, and give over man according to his own ways. Now, it's easy to look at the sins of others, but he mentions something there, the plague of thine own heart. In other words, there may be some things in our heart that God needs to deal with. But he's willing to, amen? Where is your heart? Is your heart towards God or is your heart towards sin? Is your heart towards God or is your heart towards money? Is your heart towards God or is your heart towards leisure or towards something else other than God? He says God's willing to forgive. We're willing to come to him, amen? Now, this is not a discouraging message at all. There is some responsibility here. And what it comes back to is what I said earlier. We're responsible to be right with God. And look how willing he is to make things right with us. Look at the next one. This is interesting. He says in verse 41, moreover, concerning a stranger that is not of thy people Israel, but cometh out of a far country for thy name's sake. In other words, they came to Israel because they heard about God. He says, and this is a parenthesis here, for they shall hear of thy great name and of thy strong hand and of thy stretched out arm. When he shall come and pray toward this house, hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place and do according to all that the stranger calleth to thee for. If you're here today and you're not a member of our church, I got good news for you. God hears your prayers too. If you're here today and you're not saved, I got good news for you. God will save you too. You haven't got to be part of a special group to belong to God. You ought to be part of a church, by the way. But that doesn't keep God from hearing your prayers. That doesn't keep God from loving you. It didn't keep him from sending Jesus to die on the cross to pay for your sins. Fact is, we'd like to reach some strangers, wouldn't we? We'd like to find some of the strangers in our neighborhood that they're not part of this place and they're not named as we are named as Vision Baptist Church, but we want them to find God too. And we're going to go out and tell them about it, and you can be a part of that. He says, no, when the stranger prays, when someone that's, they're not special, they're not Israelite, they're not, you know, in this category that we're in, that doesn't matter. God loves them too. And he'll forgive them too, and he'll bless them too and hear their prayers as well. And then one more, and we'll finish in verse 44. Again, you see those ifs in verse 31, and you see the whens. And so these are situations he's talking about. And he says in verse 44, if thy people go out to battle against their enemy, whithersoever thou shalt send to them, and shall pray unto the Lord toward the city which thou hast chosen, toward the house that I have built for thy name, then hear thou in heaven their prayer and their supplication, and maintain their cause. We have some people that we call missionaries. And they are all over the place. They are in Mexico. They are in Iran. They are in Japan. They are in Brazil. They're all over the place. And they have gone out to find souls for Christ. And they're fighting a battle. And folks, we should be praying for them. But God sent them there. And God will hear their prayers. And God will maintain their cause. He will give them victory. But here's a question I have. What battle has God got for you and I? Are we meant to just sit on the sidelines and watch while others go out and while others fight the battle and win the victory and gain the souls and gain that territory for God? I think God's got something for all of us to do, don't you? Why is it so quiet? Amen? What does God have for you to do? Say, oh, Pastor, I like to sit in church. I do too. I think I'll do that right now. Who's going to preach? Israel's coming up. Amen? At least he's got the courage. What's God got for you to do? Amen? Amen? There's something to do. We have a lot of work to be done around here. And, you know, I enjoyed. There were some years when I sat in church, and then God said, you know, you need to be doing something. And so then I started teaching Sunday school, and then God said, no, you need to be doing some more than that. And so then I started working a bus route. And then God said, no, you need to be doing more than that. So I began preaching in nursing homes, and it's, you know. The point is, be willing to do what God asks you to do. Be willing to go to battle. If you never fight the battle, you're never going to know the victory. Amen? Say, I sat in church, Pastor. What? That's good. Please do that. But then, let's go get in the battle. When I was in the Army, I got so tired of training. Oh, all the time, training, training, training. How do you shoot this weapon? How do you clean this weapon? How do you do this? How do you do that? How do you deal with chemical warfare? And how do you, what do you do if a tank comes at you? And train, 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 train. But if it's all just training, what's the point? The bottom line is, sooner or later, there's a battle to fight. And you know what's interesting is, even in my lifetime, there have been a lot of battles. There's been Vietnam. There's been the Gulf War. There's been the other situation in the Gulf. Not to mention all the other conflicts they've gone through that I can't even name. Folks, there's battles to fight. Right here. When it comes time to go to war, I got good news for you. If you'll go, God will go with you. And if you'll go and you'll pray, God will hear and maintain your cause. We shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And if you just didn't do anything except listen and train, and you never did go to war, you're going to wish you'd have done more. What's the whole point of the matter? And we're done. I'm out of time. Folks, God will hear. God will forgive. God will provide, if you see that there, in the times of famine and drought. He's a God who forgives. He's a God who provides. He's a God who blesses. He's a God who will give you victory. He will hear if we'll call. Now, how do you apply a message like this? More than once in my life, and you probably could say the same thing, you've been out in your car somewhere and either got a flat tire, or the car wouldn't start, or the motor died, or something, and you found yourself stranded. And now, you got to remember, today, you know, this is the answer to all problems, right? You know, we didn't have these when in the 70s. And you have to find somebody to help you. And you'd be a fool to sit there on the side of the road and just die because you didn't want to ask for help. So when you need help, in your life, I know, when you need help, you ask God, don't you? Because that's important to you. God, I need to pay this bill. God, I need healing in the hospital. It's great to see Eva back. Eva, stay out of the hospital. Too much. But you know what? When she was in there, we're praying, God, heal her. And here she is. Amen? When you get in trouble in your life, you're pretty good at, I think, asking God, God, help. And he'll hear. Now, I want to ask you a question. What about our church? Do you pray for our church? Amen? He'll hear. We pray about the things that are important to us. Pray about our church. That's where the two trains come back together. Solomon says, there's a place that is special to me. And God, I'm asking you to hear. When these people get in trouble, I'm asking you to hear. When they sin, I'm asking you to forgive. When they are in famine or in pestilence or when they don't have water, I'm asking you to provide. When they go to battle, I'm asking you to give victory. And folks, that's what we need in our life. and in our church. Amen?
Amen.
It ought to be important enough to us to pray about. And I think if we would pray, God would hear. Pretty sure, after him saying six times, I think he'll hear. And I think he'll forgive. I think he'll provide. And you might be amazed at what God can do. He's the only God we got. Oh, no, I didn't say that right. He's the only God we need. Amen? Let's all stand and pray.